speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
For our lesson this morning, I want us to look at four men of the Bible who serve as biblical examples for those of us who are blessed to be able to be dads. The first one is a name that often we might overlook, a name that many might even be unfamiliar with, and it is a name that is not mentioned very much in the Bible, both the Old or even in the New Testament Scripture. What we learn with reference to this first man, though, is that he was a man of great faith. In regard to this man, his name is Enoch. And with Enoch, for the most part, what we know about him is that he lived 365 years upon the face of the earth, but yet at the same time, not much detail about the man's life. It's interesting to point out, though, is that he is mentioned as the father of Methuselah. And all of our kids can no doubt tell us who Methuselah is. Methuselah is the oldest one that is mentioned in the Bible, living 969 years. What a life. I thought, whenever I looked with regard to Enoch's life, 365 years, that's a long life. But with Methuselah, 969 years, that is a long time upon the face of the earth. But with reference to both of these men, in fact, all that are mentioned in the context of what we read of in Genesis chapter 5, God identifies not only that they lived, but then in like figure that their life came to a close. And this reminds us, does it not, is that while we are blessed to be able to live here in this world, and that life within itself is a blessing that is bestowed upon us by our God, in reality there will come a day whenever our life here in this world will be no more. Now the soul will continue to live on. And someday we will stand before God in judgment, and as Christians, as those who have sought diligently to live faithful before God, we will be blessed to be able to dwell in eternity someday. But God is constantly reminding us in and through the Scripture that life here upon the face of this earth is not meant to last forever. In fact, God stresses this in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14 by showing us the brevity of life in saying that life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Dads, what type of a life should we live? We should live a life that has faith in God. Not only a life of faith, a belief in God, we need to live a life that whenever we are dead and gone, whenever our life here is no more, that our family and that our friends, that the church would be able to look to us and to say that we were men of great faith. What do we learn with reference to Enoch? In regard to this matter, Enoch is commended by God for pleasing God. Well, what does it mean to please God? It means that he had a relationship with God. It meant that in his relationship with God is that he had invested time throughout the course of those 365 years to get to know the source behind his existence. Not only to understand where he came from, but also I contend that he would have spent time in his life digging into every bit of information that would have possibly been available where God had revealed himself to man at that time. He would have done everything that he possibly could have done to have known our Heavenly Father. But friends, it goes even further than knowing God. Knowing God in reality is serving God. And that is what we find in regard to this man Enoch, is that he lived his life according to the will of our God. Therefore, he is identified in Scripture as a man of great faith. You see, Enoch, he took his life very important in the fact that he walked continually with God. And the people who knew him, his family, and those who were around him on a daily basis, outside of his family, the world around and about him, certainly would have understood that this man was a man who walked continually, consistently with our God. What does that look like? A story is told of brothers that were separated early in life. And having been separated early in life, they were moved to different parts of the country and grew up not knowing one another. Well, the one learned where his brother was living, and this man now has a family of his own. He has a son. And he has explained to his son that he wants to be able to meet his brother and to reacquaint with him, as well as now he wants his son to be able to meet his uncle. Having learned where he lives in a small town. The father and son get in their vehicle and they drive to the small town, and the son says, as they get out of the vehicle, "Dad, do you know where he lives?" And he says, "No, but we're gonna look for him in town." And the son says, "Dad, how are you gonna know what he looks like?" And all at once the father spots his brother and he says, "That's him." And the son says, "How do you know it's him, Dad? You've not seen him since the time in which you guys were real young." And he says, "How do you know what he looks like?" And he says, "I don't know what he looks like, but I know his walk, because he walks just like our father." And men, we need to be men. We need to be fathers who walk like our Heavenly Father. And our families need to be able to identify us according to our walk, and the world ought to be able to recognize us by the walk that we walk, according to the walk that God prescribes or commands in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to be not like Enoch, a man of great faith. But then also we need to characterize our lives according to the way of Noah, who sought diligently to save his family. Now, a lot is said about Noah. In the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we learn that in the reading of Genesis chapter 6 is that the world is corrupt, man's minds are filled with evil, and their intentions also are evil continually. And the Bible tells us that God fully intended at that given moment, and He follows through with it, to destroy the earth. And in that context, God says that all the thoughts and intents of man are evil continually, that I will just wipe out mankind. And yet at the same time, we read from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord." Well, what does it mean, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord? It means that he found favor in God's sight. The world was filled with all kinds of craziness, ungodliness, to the fact that God was wanting to wipe them out. But there was one man who stood out above that generation, and that man was Noah. And for that reason, hence, Noah found grace in the sight of God. And in regard to this then, God allowed Noah to build an ark, a boat, a huge vessel that would serve to save him and his family, and also that he would be able to take animals into, and the animals hence would be able to survive. In this matter, though, the Bible identifies to us is that Noah not only got busy in constructing the ark, and I might take the moment to also point out is that it had not rained upon the face of the earth at this time, and therefore Noah is truly himself acting in faith, is he not? Whenever God says to him, "I'm going to destroy the earth with water, and I want you to build a big boat, why do I need that?" Probably is what a lot of us would have said, but Noah didn't do that. He acted in accordance to the will of God and got busy in building the ark. But friends, also note the context of what is said with reference to this man. Noah preached to the people of the world. Why did he preach to the people of the world? I think that says a lot about Noah, does it not, and his concern for his fellow man. But I believe that it also tells us a lot about God. The Bible says in the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. I believe that God wanted as many as would to come into repentance at that time. And therefore Noah preached unto the people of that day. Some conclude that he preached for about 100 years, others for about 120 years. And I understand the arguments around all that, but the point of the matter is that he went out and he was preaching to the people of that day. How many people of the world listened to what Noah had to say? Absolutely none of them. But what we do learn is that in the day that God brought the flood waters upon the face of the earth. Peter shares with us that few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Who were those eight souls? It was Noah and Mrs. Noah, if you would, Noah's wife. It was Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, the sons of Noah. You see, Noah concentrated on the salvation of his family. He wanted the world to be saved. There's no doubt about it. And for that reason, he was telling everybody about the salvation of God in and through the ark, and that it was only in the ark, and coincidentally, only in the church of our Lord and Savior, that we can be saved today. But in regard to this matter, when man would not listen, God made sure that Noah understood the importance of taking the message to your family, Noah. And he did. And as a result of that, this man and his family were saved in that day. It's important also to point out concerning Noah is that Noah complied fully to the instructions that God laid before him. Men, we need to make sure that we are focused each and every day upon our families. A story is told with regard to a father and a son who went fishing. They had some downtime. They wanted to spend some time with one another and to wet a line. And as they're out in the boat and they're fishing, the little boy looks over to his daddy and he says, "Dad, can you explain to me how this boat stays afloat?" And the father looked at him and he says, "Son, I don't rightly know." So the little boy passes that off and he's still out there fishing with his daddy, and he looks to his daddy and he says, "Daddy," he says, "can you tell me how fish breathe underwater?" And the father looked at him and he says, "Son, I can't explain that." So he writes it off and they continue in their fishing, and the boy looks at him a third time and he says, "Daddy," he says, "can you at least explain to me why the sky is so pretty and blue?" And the father says, "Son, I'm sorry, I don't know." So the little boy commences to fishing, and finally, though, he turns to his daddy and he says, "Daddy," he says, "do you mind me asking you all of these questions? I don't want to bother you." And the father responds, "No, son." He says, "I want you to ask me all the questions you got." He says, "how can we ever learn anything unless we ask?" Dads, let's be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within us to everyone who asks, but especially to our families. Whenever it comes to our belief in God, when it comes to our commitment to God, we need to make sure that not only are we obedient to God in baptism, but that we are rooted and grounded in the truth, and that we're doing all that we can, not only to live for God, to walk according to the will of God, but then in like figure, to teach or to instruct our families in the way of God. Let's be like Noah, who focused upon his family. Let's focus upon saving our families. But then also another character that I want us to think about this morning, and that is Abraham. Abraham fully trusted in God. It's interesting as we come to an understanding to begin with about Abraham in Genesis chapter 11 and then carried over into Genesis chapter 12, is that God called him and Sarah at the time, or Sarah as we know her later on in the context of the Scripture, to leave their homeland, Ur of Chaldees, and to go to a strange land, a land that was not familiar to them, but to a place that God would instruct them to go. What did he do? Abraham trusted God. He believed in God. And as a result of that, then, he took his wife, Sarah, and Lot also went with them, and they went and they trusted God to go into a place that they did not know about. And if we stop there, one might conclude, man, this man was perfect in all of his ways. But you know, Abraham serves also as an example to us to say that Abraham struggled in his life. In context to what we read in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 17, and then again in chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, he struggled with fear. Remember, whenever he approaches the Pharaoh of Egypt, and as he and Sarah are coming into Egypt, he's afraid that if he says, "she's my wife," is that they're going to look bad on him and that it's going to cost him maybe his life. And therefore he says, "this is my sister." Was that true? it's halfway true. It was his half-sister, right? Or stepsister. In that, he fibbed because of fear. And friends, I wish that I could say that that's the only time that he did something like that, but it's not. He did the same thing with Abimelech in chapter 20. He lied, saying that she's my sister. Why? Because he feared. That fear served to the point to where I contend this morning is that he did not have the faith or the trust in God that he demonstrated whenever he left their homeland. And then later, could it get any worse? It did. Abraham and Sarah failed to see God's plan for them. You see, God had told Abraham, through you all nations of the earth will be blessed. Ultimately, that was speaking with reference to the fact that through the seed of Abraham, Jesus would come into the world, and now, through Jesus, all of us are able to have our sins forgiven and to have a relationship with God. Hence, from Christ, that goes back to the seed of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were growing old in age. And as a result of their growing old in age, Sarah is questioning, can I have a child? And Abraham's saying, too, am I able to bless her with a child to that end? And in all then, what did they do? Sarah concludes that, well, God must mean that I need to set this up for him. And she brings her maidservant, Hagar, to Abraham and allows him and her to come together, and she conceives a child, and this is where Ishmael comes from. And Ishmael, I'll get it right. Ishmael came from, and with Ishmael, hence this was not the promised child. And eventually he's sent out. In fact, we find the jealousy of Sarah later on in life whenever she does conceive and has Isaac, who is the child of promise. Friends, from that point forward, I contend that we see Abraham's faith and trust in God abound. I don't believe that we see him really turning back from that point. That's why we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, this man has great faith, and he's presented for the great faith that he had with regard to him and the demonstration of his faith. Where does that come in? He offered Isaac, the promised child, on the altar. Now, God did not allow him to go through with killing him, but he was going to do so. And why was he going to do so? The Scripture says to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, it was because he trusted in God. He knew that if he did what God commanded him to do, even to the point of killing his son, is that God had the power to restore life to that son, and that through that son, that promised child, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Dads, let's be like Abraham and fully trust God with our lives. Let's allow our family and friends and the world to understand the faith and trust that we have in God each and every day. Let's not only be like Abraham. Dads, let's also be like Joshua, who challenged others. It's interesting that out of the generation that first went into the wilderness is that only two of those original were allowed to return or to go into the promised land. And that is Joshua and Caleb. And the reason for that is because they obeyed the Lord. They fully trusted God themselves. Joshua, according to the Scripture, is appointed to lead the march into Cana. And he takes the reins. And as a result of that, he leads Israel against all of their enemies. And because of this man, conjoined with the fact that not only is Israel putting their hands to the work, we also know that God was working providentially behind the scenes to help to deliver their enemies into their hands, as well as to deliver them into the promised land. Friends, by the time we read in Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through verse 43, God had given Israel, by the hand of Joshua, all of the promises that God had made unto the children of Israel throughout the ages, specifically as it dealt with the promise of land. Enclosed, as Joshua's life is getting ready to end, as his life is coming to a closure, we read in regard to what is said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua turns to the children of Israel and he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods on the other side of the flood?" He says, "Will you serve the gods whom your father served, who were heathenistic gods, who walked not according to the will of God?" He says, "Will you go according to the way of those who turned from God in the past?" And then Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And friends, I have no doubt that Joshua meant what he said and that he did what he said in regard to him and his house serving the Lord. But friends, also, though he put that challenge out there to others, that not only did he want them to know that he and his house were going to serve the Lord, he wanted them also to make that choice themselves to serve the Lord, so that in serving the Lord, someday they would be able to have an eternal relationship with the Lord. And today I say, men, fathers, dads, as we look to the role that we have in the church, not only should we be a person of great faith, not only must we focus upon the salvation of our families, not only is it important for us to fully trust in God, we need to be a voice for God in the community to every lost soul, to challenge them, "Choose this day whom you will serve," because of our love for God, as well as because of our love for the souls of mankind. Dads, we love each and every one of you so very much. Hope and pray that you have a wonderful day. I pray that if your family's around, that you're able to spend time with your families. But above all, let's remember that the greatest responsibilities we have as a dad is to be a Christian and to lead our families and to be a spokesperson for God each and every day. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, we invite you with His call.